Acts chapter 20, and then 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Acts chapter 20. I'll give you just a minute to find those two chapters. Acts chapter 20, and then 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Acts chapter 20. We're going to read one verse there, Acts chapter 20, and we'll read verse number 35. Acts 20, verse number 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And then if you'll swing over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, we'll begin in verse number 6. 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 6. But this I say, that he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And that'd be a good thing to underline in your Bible right there. God loveth a cheerful giver. That's the only place in the New Testament that God's taken that little verb, action verb, give, put a R on the end of it, and made it into a noun. You know that you and I ought to want to be givers. And it's a blessed thing to be a giver. And so that's a wonderful thing. Verse number 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That's just a little reminder. If you are able to give, it's because God has given you a sufficiency. And what he does is he watches those that are givers, and he just keeps supplying them with ammunition so that they can keep giving. And so we're going to talk tonight a little bit about this subject, the blessings of being a cheerful giver. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to meet together. And Lord, we're going to approach a subject that Lord, we wouldn't know much about if it wasn't for your example. If you want to learn about giving, Lord, if we as Christians want to learn about giving, we ought to just take a look upward to heaven, because God, you've set a beautiful example for us. You talk about a giving God. You talk about somebody that was able, willing not only to give of their abundance, but give of them very of their very self. And God, you sent your son Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. Lord, I pray that we'd mimic you in this area of our life. Lord, we have a biblical mandate here, some Bible principles that we want to look at tonight. And I pray that you stir our hearts and make us givers, Lord. Make us givers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Some preachers don't like preaching on giving. I love preaching on giving. I mean that. Because I feel like I'm doing Christians one of the greatest favors in the world when I bring to their attention the fact that God wants them to be a giver. It's not something against you, it's something for you. And it's a privilege, an honor to be able to give. To be in the position to be able to give is a blessing and an honor. And God talks about the fact that if you'll be blessed, we looked at these two Bible principles. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And God says, you know what, receiving, we'll talk about it in a minute, receiving is a blessing. He doesn't say it's a bad thing to receive. And I suppose everybody in here has been on the receiving end a few times in your life. But he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I'll tell you this, I want to be a giver. And then the Bible talks about the attitude that we're supposed to have while we're giving. Because we're not supposed to do it out of necessity. Well, the Bible says that I have to. God's commanded it, so here I go. You know, I mean, that's not what God impresses God, and that's not what God loves to see. God wants to look down from heaven and see somebody that has enough spiritual insight, enough biblical sense, enough appreciation for all the outflowing of God's blessing to put a big smile on their face and have their radar on all the time, looking around them for opportunities to give. And I'm not, of course, just talking about giving finances. I'm talking about giving of your life and giving of your time and giving of your influence and giving of your encouragement. There's 100,000 ways that you can give. You children, you say, well, I don't have much money. My parents are cheap. They won't give me an allowance. Amen. Well, yeah. Well, maybe they're just smart, you know. But, But, you know, I don't have much money. Well, there's so many different ways you can give. It's just not a matter of putting a dollar in the plate. It's a matter of giving of your time and yourself to other people and being a blessing to them. Now, we want to look at these scriptures because, listen, folks, you can live a charmed life. I mean that. You can live a charmed life. As one old Southern preacher put it, you can live under the spout where the glory comes out. Amen. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. There's a mentality that we need to develop in this matter of what God's given us, what we can do with it. But I'll tell you that it's more blessed to give than to receive. All through the Bible, God gives us promises concerning the receiving of His blessing upon our lives. You know, I've always challenged our young people to do this. I challenge anybody to do this. Because I think sometimes that we are not aware of all that the Bible says in this matter of blessings and receiving of blessings and the way that God will bless us. But one of the Bible studies that I've always challenged our young people to do is that I believe that you ought to, every Christian ought to take a concordance and they ought to look up every place in the Bible where God talks about blessed or blessing. Because, you know, God doesn't make it hard for us to figure out how to be blessed. If you go through and from Genesis to Revelation, take a little bit of time, but from Genesis to Revelation, if you'll go through and you'll do a Bible study on this matter of blessed, God just lists over and over and He tells you exactly, if you'll do this, I'll bless you. If you do this, I'll bless you. If you'll do this, I'll bless you. You know what? If you just study all of that, write all those things down and do them, guess what God will do? He'll keep His word. He's not going to say, if you do this, 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 and this, I'll bless you. And then you do all of the things and you come tell me you're not being blessed. I don't believe that. God hasn't made it hard. By the way, there's a flip side of that coin. Just like heads has on the other side tails. Every coin has two sides. You ought to take then and study through the Bible the word cursed. And I've done these things. I'm not telling you to do something I haven't done. Do you know, that's a fascinating study. You know, the same God that sends blessing also is capable of sending a curse upon your life. And He lists in the Bible, there's some specific things that if you do, I will curse you. You know, I'm convinced of this. I know this is true. I see it. That some Christians are living under the perpetual curse of God. They can't figure out why. But the Bible tells them why if they'd study to find out. You ought to study that out. I wonder right now if you're doing something on a regular, habitual basis that is causing God to have to put a curse upon your life and your family's life. Well, is that possible? Well, I'd get a concordance if I was you. I'd be concerned enough to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. I think I'd study that thing out. Say, God, here you've listed in the Bible some things that if I'll do, you promise to bless me. And you also have said, if you do these things, I'll send a curse into your life. Folks, listen to me. There's a lot of reasons why people live an upside down life, where it just doesn't seem like they can ever get all of their circuits to match and everything going in the right direction. They seem like they're spinning in circles most of the time. Maybe we ought to just take a look at the Bible and say, God, am I doing the things that you have listed in your word upon which you promised blessing? And am I not doing those things that you've listed in your word that you said you'll send a curse into my life? And folks, I don't know about you, but I don't want to fight with God. I want to be in a position where God can bless me. And I think it's important that we take some time to understand that most of the promises that God gives us are conditional promises. If you will, then He will. If I will, then He will. We ought to study out what those are. It wouldn't take a great deal of time. It'd be a good way to spend your morning devotions for the next month or so, running those words through and then making adjustments in your life and just see what happens. I think that what we're going to do tonight is we're going to just focus in on one of these principles and dissect it a little bit, because the Bible does say it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So we're going to take a look at that tonight. I want you to enjoy the blessings of being a cheerful giver. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I want to not only give, I want to give with the right attitude. I really do. I don't want to, as the Bible says over here in 2 Corinthians, I don't want to give it begrudgingly. I don't want to give out of necessity. You know, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. I like that. Didn't Pastor Ross tell us to do that? Didn't he say that? Won't you pray about it, folks, and ask God what to give? And if you'll pray and ask God and settle that matter in your heart, purpose in your heart to give. And then he says, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loveth the cheerful giver. Cheerful giver. I told you a story, I think I did here a while back. I can't remember where I told what sometimes, but I had a buddy in college that was selfish by nature, and he'd tell you that. He told me, he said, Jerry, I'm just a selfish person. I just am. I'm realizing more and more I'm a selfish person. And he said, I got to do something about this. So he said, I've decided that every day I'm going to do three things that's causing me to forget myself and live for others. I'm going to do three things a day. And I found out that if I caught him really early in the morning before he got those three things done and asking for a favor, he'd say yes. but if you caught him after that, forget it. I've literally had him in the hallway. Sorry, I've already done my three things. I can't help you today. I'm glad he's making progress, but I'm not sure that's what God's really after, I think God doesn't. Wouldn't it be terrible if God says, all right, you're praying into Christ. Sorry, I've done three nice things for you today, bud. You had to come catch me tomorrow. I'm not sure that's the way to look at life, but sometimes we do that. We want to kind of meter it out, say, all right, I've given enough. Well, I don't know. I don't think God ever has felt that way towards us. He's always been so generous towards us. It's more blessed to give to receive. I want to be able to give with a smile on my face. I want to be able to give of my time. I want to be able to give of my talents. I want to be able to give of my encouragement. I want to be able to give of my money with a smile on my face. I want to be a cheerful giver. I don't want to be a crab. I don't want the worst part of the service to be offering time. I don't want to put the money in the plate and then sit there watching it go down the aisle and up the head and wishing it back the whole way. I don't put my check in the plate and then sit there the whole rest of the service thinking what I could have used that money to catch up on and do. I think God just likes to see us put it in the plate and say, Lord, thank you that you even allowed me to be able to do that and to give back a little bit. Folks, listen to me. Just learn to love to give. Learn to love to give. Because it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I said a few minutes ago, it is a blessing to receive. We'll talk about this, and I'm going to give you three reasons why cheerful givers are the happiest people in the world. Cheerful givers are the happiest people in the world. If you learn to be a giver, I remember my dad growing up, he told me one time, he said, Jerry, there's two kinds of people in the world. There's givers and there's takers. He said, I want you to grow up and learn to be a giver. I want you to grow up and learn to be a giver. And that is true. Well, I'm telling you, that's true. That's true in the world. That's true in the church. And you've got, to become a giver, you've got to learn that giving attitude. You have to have a be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to learn to think totally different and opposite of the way the world and our own selfish nature wants us to think. You have to ask God to do something in your heart and your mind different. And make you look at things different. But it is a blessing to receive. The Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. But that means there is a certain amount of blessing in receiving. And like I said a minute ago, I think we've all been there. I'll tell you what, I'm 1,000 times would rather give than receive. Because when I receive something unexpected, a gift, a note of appreciation, I don't know what to do. I really don't know what to do. It's always an awkward thing. It's like our birthday songs. And in our school, we celebrate. How many celebrated birthday? We'd always sing happy birthday. Probably the worst thing in the world is knowing what to do when people are singing happy birthday to you. You don't know whether to bow your head. You don't know whether to sing along. So you start singing and you realize I'm singing to myself. I shouldn't probably be singing. So you stop singing. And then you don't know whether to look around and go like this, You don't know what to do. When people are showering you with attention or doing, I 1,000 times would rather be on the giving end, but it's a blessing to receive. Every once in a while, it's just a blessing. I think it's a blessing for two reasons. Sometimes what you get, you really need. Somebody gives you something that met a genuine need, or maybe not a genuine need, but something that was just, something that you just said, you know what, this is something that is going to help me in some area. It's just sometimes nice to get something. It is. But I think far beyond that, it's a blessing because of what the gift represents. And when somebody gives you something, thought enough about you to pick something up for you or give you something or slide something under your door or write you a note, what that represents is that somebody cares, that somebody loves you, that somebody thought about you. And you know what? That's a blessing. And it is a blessing to receive. But I'll tell you what, young people, it's 100 times bigger blessing to give, to learn to be a giver than a receiver. And givers are just more blessed. They're happier. They're just a different breed. I'm telling you, they just walk around with a perpetual smile on their face, and there's a difference in them. Now, why is that true? Listen, be a giver. Be a giver. When children are born in this world, they're an infant. You know what? They cry because they want. And you know what? Most, and that's perfectly normal. Babies are takers. Babies are takers. Oh, they'll give you some stuff every once in a while that you don't want, but for the most part, they're just takers. I mean, and if they don't get what they want when they want it, then they're crying. And you know what? That's normal. Are you children listening to me? Are you children listening to me? And even toddlers. Toddlers are takers. I mean, if you don't believe that, then take one of their toys and see what happens to you, you know. Mess with any of their stuff and see what happens to you. I mean, they'll tell you flat out. You know what? To want everyone to give, and me is just, I mean, it's inborn in us. It's part of our carnal nature, and it's also a part of immaturity. And then children, at some point in your life, and I encourage you, parents, help them to experience this early. At some point in your life as you're growing up, and this can be little children, we need to teach them the joy of giving. Because giving has its own rewards. And, you know, you have to work with your children about this. You have to teach your children and train your children, you know. And there's some times in their life where they're going to, and by the way, you should always teach them. I mean, from the littlest of ages, you should teach them to every bit of increase that they receive. I don't care if it's a dollar and a birthday card from grandma. You ought to teach them a dime of that goes in the offering plate. And having said, I don't care if they're 2 years old. They ought to sit there with that little dime in their hand, even if they don't understand what tithing is yet, and get them in the habit of doing that. But beyond that, God blesses them, or they get some kind of a unexpected blessing, or they get some unexpected money, or something goes their way. And to challenge them, listen, what are you going to do with that? Well, I'm going to go get this and buy this and do that. Well, wait a minute. Have you prayed about this? Is there any portion of that that maybe the Lord would want you to use to be a blessing to someone else? You know, this has to be trained into young people. It needs to be taught to young. You know, very, very few young, I mean, hardly, I don't think anybody's born a giver. I think that they learn it from watching their parents, and they learn it from practicing it, having it trained in them, and teach them. Because, you teach a child that, and you get that instilled in their heart, and you model that and mentor that before them. And I'll tell you what they'll do. They'll grow up and they'll see that. And they'll experience that. And they'll get a taste of that. And you know what? There's just a blessing. There's just a great feeling that overcomes you when you have an opportunity to take something and be an unexpected blessing to somebody else. I mean, teach them to do that. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, let me give you several things here. What are the benefits or the blessing of being a cheerful giver? What are the blessings or benefits? Well, givers are special people. I think givers are more blessed for many reasons, but givers are blessed, more blessed because they spend their time thinking of others. Now, I talked about the renewing of your mind. I talked about changing this mindset of spiritual immaturity that says, gimme, 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 gimme. Hey, I'll show up every Sunday and I look around, who can be a blessing to me today? Now, I've got this need. Now, who can I drop enough hints to that maybe they'll meet it? Oh, no, I'm telling you, and that's just not kids. That's just not teenagers. If you're not careful, you've let that develop into your whole life, your whole being, you know. Mothers get up and say, what can my husband do for me today? What can the children do for me today? Children grow up, what can mom and dad, what can I get from them today? There's nothing worse in the world than going to a store. Well, I'll just stop right there. There's nothing. Having to go shopping, that's a curse of God right there, but I'll tell you what, I won't go to a store that's got a toy section. If it does have a toy section, I won't go near it. I'm going to paddle somebody else's kids one of these days. I'm going to be in jail. I'm going to be in jail, brother. I will. And you know what? If I lose it and find myself doing it, I'm going to finish it. Because I'm going to jail anyway, so I'm going to do a good job of it, amen? I'm sick and tired of watching a generation of whiners and tantrum throwers and feet kicking, screaming, sitting in the aisle of the store, screaming, still screaming all the way through the store because they didn't get some precious little. I mean, there's kids, absolutely, don't know what it's like to go into a store and walk out with nothing. I'm serious. Well, we're teaching them some bad things, folks. And but you know what? That's the mentality. Give me, give me, give me. Mine, mine, mine. Now listen, what are you going to do with your life? You going to walk through life being a giver or a taker? What are you going to do with life? Are you going to spend your life thinking of others and their needs? or thinking of yourself and your wants and your desires and what you need somebody to do for you. Now, let me tell you the difference. The difference is one smiles and one frowns. The difference is one sings as they walk and one mumbles under breath as they go around. I'm just telling you, the most miserable people in the world are the people that are focused on themselves. And you get that mentality where you begin to think of others. And you get up and you look at your dear wife in the morning, man, and you say, how can I be a blessing to her today? What can I do to lighten her load? How can I be a blessing? And you walk through the house and you see the children. How can I be a blessing? What can I say to them to encourage their hearts? What comment can I make that would uplift them? How can I invest in their life in such way? And then you walk out the door and you go to the gas station and you don't run by that person that's behind the counter, but you say, well, how can I be a blessing to that person? What can I say to that person that might make their load a little lighter and their day a little brighter? I mean, listen, folks, it just transforms you. It just changes you when you forget this old self. I mean, I remember Brother Godfrey used to teach us in personal evangelism class. He was a big one about talking about dying to self. Dr. Lee Robertson, I don't know if that's, I mean, the resurrection, or I'm sorry, the second coming of Jesus Christ and dying to self. I think Brother Robertson, every time I hear him preach, he gets one of those two and usually both of them in there somewhere. Die to self! Heard Brother Godfrey say, he said, when you wake up in the morning, he said, before you get out of bed, just make your bed an altar. Lay yourself on the altar and drive a knife through your heart and die to self before you ever get out of bed. Die to self! Amen. Die to self and live for others. I'm just telling you, the happiest, well-adjusted, singing us, skipping us, you know, smile on their face are people in the world. The happiest people in the world are givers. The most miserable people in the world are takers. Because their whole life is about me. Their whole life is, how can I get something? How can I talk somebody out of something? How can I drop enough hints to get? Listen, forget that. Forget that. Work hard. Ask God to bless you. God will meet your needs, as we talked about this morning. You know what? Like we talked about Wednesday night, he spoils us. He'll give you a surplus. Take that surplus and be a blessing to other people. Just learn to be a giver, a cheerful giver. Wake up in the morning, go to work, and you know what? You know, folks, let me just help you here. And I know that 90% of our men, probably 95% of our men know this already, but you know what? They didn't open that factory that you work at just so that they could you could go in there and they could give you stuff. Well, we don't get this, and we don't get that, and we don't have this, we don't have that. Well, you got a job, don't you? They give you a paycheck, don't they? We spend more time grumbling and whining and complaining instead of thanking God every morning. You know what? A boss likes to see an employee that comes in that has a thankful heart and walks in and says, I'm here to report for duty. What do you want me to do today? I'm here to give. I mean, you pay me for an hour and you're going to get every bit of that hour and more. I'm going to give you everything I've got. I'm going to give 100% while I'm here. And you know what? At the end of the day, if we made an agreement and I've agreed to work for these wages, I'm going to thank you very much and appreciate all that you've done for me. And thank you for giving me a job. I'm just telling you, your whole life could change if you change your attitude. The whole world's not there just to see how rosy they can make your life. And you just forget about yourself and die to self and go in there and work hard and have a good attitude and do something and make something of your life. Well, you know what? I'd volunteer in the church for this, but it'd take my time. I would work in the schools of honor, but I'd have to take a day of my life. Well, you know what? We don't want to bother you, bless your heart. We don't want to disturb you. I mean, you know, you got so much to think about. You're so focused. Don't let us interrupt that. Now, folks, if you want to live that way, then live that way. But I'm going to tell you, there's a better way to live. There's a better way to live. And I'm just telling you, by personal experience, when I look around, the people that's got the big smiles are the givers. The people that are the grumblers are the takers. People that's got the big smiles on their face are the ones that have died to self and forget themselves and live for others every day of their lives. And the ones that don't seem very happy are the ones that are sitting around with their little list of things that people didn't do for them that week. Nobody called me. Nobody visited me. Nobody did this. Nobody did that for me. Nobody gave me this. Nobody sent me a card. Nobody. I wish I had time to think of those things. No, I don't. I'm glad I don't. You know, be so busy giving that you don't even think about the idea that somebody give to you. You just go forward. And don't give to and do something for somebody because you think it's an investment and you're going to get it back. Just give. Just do. Givers are more blessed because they spend their time thinking of others. Givers are Cheerful givers are the happiest people in the world because they control their own personal happiness. Let me give you this. Now, I want you to get this because this is such a great truth. You know what? People that have to get to be happy are totally at the mercy of everybody else as far as whether or not they can be happy. If the only time you're happy, let me restate that. If the only time you're happy is when somebody gives you something, then you're at the mercy of everyone else around you. Amen. Your own personal happiness is wrapped up in whether or not somebody happened to notice you that day and say something nice to you or pay you a compliment or send you a card or give you something. You're not going to be happy very often. You know why? We live in an old selfish world. That's why. A lot of other people like you out there. Now here's the great thing. Think about this. If the only way I can be happy is when somebody does something for me, then I'm totally at their mercy. I'm going to be miserable that day if nobody comes through for me. But if I base my happiness on doing for others, then I can be happy anytime I want. I'm feeling a little grumpy, a little down in the mouth, and I need a booster. You know what? I can just stop and be a blessing to somebody. You know, I'm in control then of my happiness. You get that? Well, I want you young children. All you young children, look right up here at me. Stop being takers. You're way too much whining amongst children. Stop being takers. Oh, Mom, I want this. Sit around depressed. You know, you're 6 years old. You're depressed all the time. Life is so hard, isn't it? Life's so hard on you. You're depressed all the time. At 8 years old, and you're depressed all the time. Sitting in your room all the time, feeling sorry for yourself. What's wrong with you? I'll tell you what's wrong with you. You're a taker. You think God put your mom on the planet to be your personal servant. Shame on you. Shame on you. I'll tell you how to have a good day. I'd put a smile on your face. Walk out of your room of a morning and walk up and give your mom a big giant hug and a kiss. She's like, what's that for? Mom, because you're the best mom in all the world. And I haven't told you that enough. I just love you. Mom, is there something I can do to be a blessing? Is there somebody I can help around the house? Is there anything I can do to lighten your load? Some of you kids are looking at me like I'm crazy. Why are you looking at me like that? I'm just telling you, it's the difference between the happy kid and the sad kid, the selfish kid, the whining kid. Child all the time wanting to know why mom didn't do this for him, why dad didn't do this for him. Well, why don't you figure out, hey, you know what? Your dad gets up every morning. He doesn't go out to the country club and play golf all day and lay by the pool. He's out there working. Put food in your stomach. He's out there working. Well, Dad, don't spend enough time with me. Maybe it's because he's out there working to feed you and clothe you and pay the bills. I got an idea. Instead of sitting around with your stopwatch trying to figure out how much time Dad spent with you that week, why don't you say, what can I do that's going to surprise Dad when he comes home? I'll do something. You know, maybe the reason he can't spend much time with you is because when he comes home, all the chores that you could have done is still undone that he's got to do now. Help me out, Dads. I'm trying to help you here, all right? I mean that. I mean, don't you grumble at Dad. Well, Dad works all day, and he comes home, and he works all night. Well, I'll tell you what. Follow him around and figure out what he does all night that's taking up so much time. Do them while he's gone, and then y'all can go fishing. And you know what you'll find out? You'll find out you're living a happier life. Now, folks, listen to me. I know I'm being a little sarcastic tonight, but I'm tired. I breathe in so much drywall dust, I'm not even sure I'm speaking in English right now, you know. But I'm telling you that I'm giving you one of the greatest secrets to personal happiness that there is, and that's this. Listen to me. The only time I can be happy is when someone pays me a compliment. Well, I got a better formula. I can be happy by paying someone else a compliment. Amen. Now I can be happy anytime I want. You know, the only time I can be happy is someone gives me some of their time. Here's a neat thought. Why don't you say the way I'll be happy is by giving my time to other people? The only time I'll be happy is someone gives me some money or I got an idea. Why don't you say, how can I be a blessing to somebody else? Amen. Just walk around with that radar on all the time, looking for an opportunity, and God will give it to you. He sure will. He sure is. You know, time is one of the most precious gifts you can give to anybody. You know what life is? Life is time. Time is life. I give you an hour. I don't just give you an hour of time. I give you an hour of my life. I'll never get it back. Somebody gives me a little bit of their time, they've given me a precious gift. Amen. That's true. And I'll tell you what, I don't want to be selfish with my time. I want to take some of my time, and I want to take a lot of my time and give it to other people. Because you know what? That's what Jesus did. And givers, cheerful givers, are more blessed because they most resemble their Savior. Let's just look at this wonderful verse. If you've got the whole thing underlined, I think that's marvelous. But if you don't have any of it underlined, you might just want to underline this part. For God so loved the world that he gave. Now, all of it's great, but you know what? Or underline the whole thing, but just circle that word. G-A-V-E, gave. Givers are more blessed. Cheerful givers are the most blessed people in the world because they most resemble their Savior. You know, I want to live my life in such a way where people would say that after I've gone through and touched their life and interacted with them, that that man done what Jesus would have done. He said what Jesus would have said. And he ought to be our supreme example, and our ultimate goal ought to be like him. And God looked down from heaven one day and he seen a bunch of people that needed something. He said what they need is they need saved. They need delivered from the burden and the stain of sin. Yeah. So he took his own only begotten son. And Jesus willingly came down to this earth, and took upon him the form of flesh, and was made in the likeness of man. He lived a perfect life, and you look at that life, and I want to challenge you to do something. I want to challenge you to do something. I want you to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I want you to dissect it, and I want you to come back and show me one verse or one time where Jesus did one selfish thing or one thing for self. I want you to show me one time he didn't. Okay, I'm not against you every once in a while doing something for yourself or going out. I'm just saying in the recorded Gospels, I can't find one time Jesus just did something for Jesus. It just seemed like all the time he was looking at how he could be a blessing and help to somebody else. I like that what John wrote at the end of his gospel. And I think it's just one of the most astounding verses in all the Bible. And I won't be able to quote it properly. But listen to this. We'll close with this verse. John 21, verse number 25. John concludes the gospel of John with this verse. And there are also many other things which Jesus did. Now, he's just written down 21 chapters of things, but he said, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. And what does that mean, Brother Jerry? What does that mean? I think John said, listen, I can't even begin to take pen and put it to paper and write it all down. I think John sat there for 3 years and followed in the footsteps of Christ. And from the moment Jesus rolled out of bed till he fell down in exhaustion of a night, every time they saw him come near anybody or interact with anybody, I just think that there was never a time where Jesus wasn't giving of himself and giving of himself and giving of himself. I think what we have in the stories of the gospel are the mountaintop type experiences. But you know, folks, a lot of times it's not the healing of a leper or the raising of the dead. Sometimes it's just stopping and talking to a widow lady along the path and giving her encouragement and shaking her hand. And when he walked away, maybe the only two or three mites that he had to his name was in that widow's hand and not in his own anymore. I don't know all the things that Jesus did, but if we could have followed him around for those 3 years and we could have sat there, all of us, with a notebook and take notes, I think, as the Bible said, we'd write book after book after book after book after book after book after book. And pretty soon we'd have so many books the world couldn't contain them. From the time Jesus got up in the morning till he went to bed at night, for every moment of every day, he looked around for an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody else. You know what? Sometimes it's just a smile. Sometimes it's just catching somebody's eye across the room and nodding and winking and a smile. I mean, you know, folks, there's so many things. If we just would forget ourselves, we could do to be an encouragement to somebody else. Sometimes it's just a handshake. Sometimes it's just an encouraging word. You know, this old world's such a discouraging place to live. It is. Seems like from Monday all the way through Saturday night, all you hear is somebody mad at you or yelling at you or unhappy or mean to you. I just think it's nice every once in a while to run into a Christian out there. I think, you know what, it's just a blessing. You know, have you ever thought about what it's like to be that waitress? You ever thought about what it's like to be that person that has to deal with John Q. Public all day at the gas station making a minimum wage? You know, I know that you want to go in and gripe about the gas prices. Guess what? You're probably the only one that's done that today. You've come up with some new original way to gripe about it. I guarantee it, she's heard it. Oh, seriously. That girl don't, she's not out there setting the prices. She's working for minimum wage. You think about it? You think about that? Let me tell you something, gentlemen, young men. If you ever worked as a janitor in a building, you'd think twice before you took your chewing gum wrapper and threw it on the floor. Take your gum, stick it under a seat somewhere just because you're too lazy and selfish to dispose of it. I'll tell you, I'm just going to give me my 2 cents worth. I can't, it's unfathomable to me, the idea of rolling down my window and throwing trash out. It's unfathomable. It's unfathomable to me to open my window and make the world responsible for my refuse. That's unfathomable to me, and I'm not a tree hugger. But the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I mean, I'm going to clutter up what God made. We wouldn't need environmentalist wackos if Christians would just be Christians. I go out hunting in the woods. Nothing makes me madder than all get out. Go out in the woods hunting and find a pile of trash somebody's dumped along the side. I can't even imagine taking a bunch of trash that I've produced, going on some back row and shoving it into somebody's in a ditch somewhere by somebody's property. I mean, I can't even understand that thing. But you know what we've got? We've got a world of takers. What can I get? From the time they're born to the time they die, they're out there trying to get something from somebody else. Well, that's not how Jesus lived. And I think one of the things, folks, that gives us the right to share the gospel with the lost people is to live a life in front of them where they see that person's a giver. That person's a giver. You know, that person down there at the gas station I was talking about, she's not going to read that track if... 10 times before that, you've come in a bad spirit, bad attitude, griping and grumbling. What do you have that she wants? She sees that all day long. You know what I'm saying? Well, this waitress, she didn't do everything perfectly. Didn't keep my water glass full, my coffee full. I'm not leaving her anything. I don't know. Why don't you just leave her extra? Maybe she's having a rough day. Maybe there's some things going on at home that you don't even know about that's keeping her preoccupied. Maybe a double tip with a gospel track and a little thank you note would do something. Yeah, boy, the joy you leave behind you. Amen. Thank you. Oh boy, just to live in your wake. I don't want to be that. I want to be a giver. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you help us, God. Lord, not only are we supposed to work, be honest and work, supply the needs of our own family and pay our own way and pay our own bills, not be a burden on anyone else or society. Lord, we're supposed to take some of the abundance of what you so generally give us and be givers. God, it's just not the money that we make. It's the time that we have. Lord, I think that it's a great thing to be able to give our time to your work. It's a great thing to be able to give our time to the ministries of this church. It's a great thing to be able to give our time to people that need our time, need our attention, need that extra special little bit of love, need us to stop and ask how they're doing. And not everybody, Lord, is to the point where they've grasped this. And there's a lot of people that do need, they have needs. And we can make an impact on anybody and everybody that we meet if we would. I want to be a cheerful giver, God. I don't want to even do the work that I do around here, Lord. I don't want to do it begrudgingly or out of necessity. I want to do it with a cheerful heart. Thank you for letting me do it. Thank you for letting me have a part of it. God, in my giving, in my interaction with others, Lord, help me to be that. People need to see Jesus. Oh, I would have loved to follow you, Jesus. I envy John and those other disciples. For 3 years, they got to walk around and watch every single thing that you did, everything that you said. Every time you interacted with somebody, every time you stopped and knelt down and took a few seconds of your time to cheer up a little girl that's on the side of the road crying, I wonder what you did, Lord, that would have filled up all those books. It's just to notice that person that no one else notices. Everyone else charging forward, heading to the next appointment, charging forward, heading to the next thing that demands our attention. And the disciples trying to hurry you from this place to that place, and yet you got angry when they kept the children back because you wanted to spend time with them. When everyone else was charging underneath that sycamore tree, Jesus, you just stopped and started looking up towards heaven. I can't imagine everybody's thinking. And you noticed somebody no one else noticed, some short little man climbed a tree. You wanted to take some time with him. God, I just pray that you'd help us to be that way. There's so many people that we could be a blessing to and a help to. And Lord, not one of us can do all of it, but if all of us did what you told us to do, I think a lot of it would get done. And so help us, Lord, to decide we're going to be givers. We are going to be, I'm going to spend my life being a giver. God, help us to make that commitment. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.